We're going to pray for even greater than that. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you so much for all the wonderful things that you are doing in our house. We thank you that what you are doing in our children, from those who are in the womb to those who are graduating high school and going into adulthood, Lord God. And we thank you that you are using these teachers and these partners in ministries to lift them up into your name, oh God. You said, go baptize the nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these people are a part of that. And I ask that you will just bless them, anoint them, give them a greater anointing than we've ever seen before, that we may see our kids rise up like we've never seen before, producing miracles and just representing you in this world, oh God, shining that light, oh Father, like never before. Lord, testifying, witnessing to your lovely name, Jesus. May you be glorified here in this place and now and forever. Oh God, as you have said, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. So help us to be a part of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for partnering in that. I really appreciate it. May the Lord bless you as well. Amen. I would like to invite all the children to come forward. We're going to release. We're going to come up. We're going to bring them up here. We're going to pray over them. We're going to release them downstairs so that they may be blessed and grow in the Lord with his word. While they're coming forward, I do want to remind parents, if you have a child or you know a child that is 8 years old, between 8 and 12, we want them to go to kids' camp. Kids camp will be July, the last week of July into August. There's application forms out there by the check-in station. Please grab one, fill it out immediately. The deadline is supposed to be the 22nd, but there's one thing that you know about me. My middle name is late, so I have to have grace with you if you're running late. Okay, I understand. But please get that form filled out and get it to me as soon as possible, okay? All right, without further ado, let's go ahead, extend a hand, find a face, choose a child, and pray specifically for them. May the Lord make sure that everyone's covered up here in Jesus' name. Gracious Heavenly Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for all the wonderful children that you have placed in our care. Help us to raise them up in your name, oh God, lead, submerging them in your word, in your truth, in your love, in your power, oh God, and most of all, Lord, may we just fill them with your presence, Jesus. We just welcome you into this place. We ask that you will lead them today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.
Welcome to our Father's house. On this beautiful Sunday morning where we're worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth, and his mercy truly is falling down like a sweet spring rain. I especially want to extend a welcome to those of you who might be here for the very first time. You were met at the front door by our greeters. They gave you some materials about our church. If you could please fill in that visitor card, and immediately after the service, our pastors would love to meet with you in the hospitality room right by the front door. I don't have anything special to announce, so we're going to go right to the offering. But you know what? I need someone to see where the pastor is, because otherwise I'm going to have to tell jokes or something. There's no pastor in the building. Look, they all left, and Mahesh isn't here, and I don't know what's going to happen next. I would like someone to find out what's going on. So I am dead serious. Come up here, and we're going to take up the tithes and offerings. I need a real long communion sermon. That's right. I may be ready in spirit and truth. Well, Matthew 6:19 says, "Do not lay up treasure on this earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust can destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, one of the easiest ways to determine where is my treasure truly is to look at your checkbook. Look at your end of the month reconciliation. Where am I spending my money? Where is it going? In what way is it building the kingdom? And then you can tell, oh my goodness, my treasure really isn't doing anything to build God's kingdom, either on this earth or in the life to come. Ah, right, salvation cometh. Thank you, dear. So as we take up these tithes and offerings today, I want to commend you again for being a people who are faithful, for investing in the kingdom, for truly giving your treasure where it can do the greatest good to build the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing, for what you have done, and what you're going to do in our lives in bringing kingdom on this earth. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Pastor Lanny.
Thank you. Thank you. I had the opportunity to stand out in the foyer a few minutes ago and watched 40 or 50 children go downstairs. Thank you. Keep it up. Children keep us young. Parents, children keep us young. It just feels like you're dying between now and then. I had an opportunity a number of years ago to watch a five-year-old for the better part of a day. I was happy to give him back to his mother and then rested for a couple of days so I could continue my life. So I really appreciate all of those who are working with our children. They do a great job. What's that? That's true. Well, we've been having quite a weekend, and I want to say to all of you how much I appreciate the efforts you've made for things to go smoothly, from the parking lot to the book table to all the associated duties that were here. It was just wonderful. We have a pretty full morning here. I think we're going to attempt some book signing. We've got to do a little video thing at the end that won't involve any of you. And this morning, we're only going to pray for those who are actually physically distressed, okay? And then those of you who want to hit the book table and get an autograph while Mahesh is among us, you feel free to do that. Who's running the table this morning? Okay, Ruth has got it, and Tim. Okay, great, super. We have our escorts of children returning to find their chairs. For those of you who do not know, Mahesh Chavda is an internationally known minister and a close personal friend, and as he's happy to brag, we're also married to one another. In that, my middle son and his older daughter were wed, what's it been, 11, 12 years ago now? Goodness gracious. So we were spiritual family for decades before that, and we're now legally married to one another, and it's kind of, you know, our commitment is kind of like Catholic. You can't get out of it. But we've been having a wonderful time. I think that who has the testimonies from this weekend? Anybody know? Is there anything that we want to share? You can let me know. All right. But at the moment, what we're going to do is we're going to have Mahesh come to this little platform here, and he's going to share the word of the Lord with us and tell us some stories to encourage your faith. Now, keep in mind that he's a guy like a human like the rest of us, but he made a commitment to pursue the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord has rewarded that with increasing graces over the decades. So don't ever think that what he talks about is only for those on the platform. Okay, he's part of those who equip us to do what the Lord would have us do. So would you please rise and welcome our dear friend Mahesh Chavda.
Thank you, Lenny. The Lord joined us many years ago, about 37 years ago, I don't know. But then the bonds also included bonds with this fellowship. Father's House used to be called Pax River Assembly of God, but I've seen your children grow up, and the bonds that we have, I shared a little of what you have invested. You partnered as Bonnie and I went majorly into Africa, into regions, because the Prime Minister of the Congo, what used to be called the Belgian Congo, and then later was called Zaire, came to the Lord under our ministry. His wife could not have children. They had been trying for 14 years. And they asked me to pray, and I told the Prime Minister's wife, well, come join in the prayer line. We had, in the morning, we had 5,000 we had to pray for, lay hands on, and she was one of them. So there was the Prime Minister's wife just knocked out in the spirit on rainy ground, in dirt. She was desperate. And I think I told you guys that next year we went, they stopped us at our plane couldn't completely come to the main disembarkation area because there was a VIP they had to pick up. And I started complaining. I said, why can't they just put us up there? Who's this annoying person that's delaying us all? And the pilot said, well, Dr. Chavdak and his wife come down. I said, oh, we're in trouble. It was the Prime Minister sent his limousine out to pick us up, to honor us and take us to the VIP lounge so he could present me with his baby son that came about. You could look back and it was two. So, but it started a journey where we were able to go, but somewhat like Star Trek. We go where no other men could go, because we got internal passports in this dictatorship. So we went all over. I was happened accidentally to watch this National Geographic this last week called Wild Congo, and all the unexplored areas pretty much with the Ebola virus and all that started, and the cities of Kisangani and Kikwit and Kananga, this remote interior to the heart of Africa. And we had been there, Bonnie and I. And that's she is an amazing lady. Some of you met Bonnie. But I remember when the Ebola virus rose up the first time and came to the news, people's attention here, they looked everywhere if there was any kind of footage. They found, of all things, they're very good researchers, but ABC, CBS, NBC found us out. We had the only live footage of the interior, what we call darkest Africa. And we had been there, and with the pygmies, with the gorillas, and all of them. In fact, we had some great experiences with gorillas. I won't take time. But I almost felt like called to the ministry to go minister to the gorillas. They are fascinating. But we saw some tremendous adventure all over, and then we have our television programs went all over India, Indonesia, Middle East especially, and they were translated into Arabic and went all over the Middle East. So when we went to go see Israel, a lot of the Palestinians recognized us and wanted our autographs because they watched us on TV. So it's And then we have our books have been translated in about 40 languages, so Korean is one of them. So there have been thousands of our books been smuggled across into North Korea and been feeding a lot of Korean, hungry Korean people. And of course, a lot of our books have been published in Chinese. So there were, I think last year I went to Singapore to do a conference for about 17,000 Chinese mostly. A lot of them have flown from Communist China. And then they knew my books and were there for that. So it's been quite an adventure. But one of the things I want to say is from way back, Father's House really partnered with us and helped us. So I want to say thank you. You were part of something special that went across the world. And I'm very proud of not only you, but the children you raised up in this church now. They're a couple of very strategic ones. Dave Clark, Uncle Lenny's oldest son, and Scott, who's here with me, are some of my great, great helpers in our church back there. So thank you again for all of that. Remember, the Word of God is alive and active and full of power. That we will read the Word in a moment, but know that I talk a lot about the glory. The glory is a thick presence of the Holy Spirit. And you can have that presence with you, praying the Spirit, reading the Word, worshiping, that the Holy Spirit, be open for the Holy Spirit to descend on you. And then amazing miracles happened. There was a lady named Donna Wood. She lives in Virginia. Some years ago, she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And they would basically said, well, there's nothing else we can do. So we recommend you get hospice care now until, you know, they gave her at the most about 3 months to live. And she was in one of my conference commitments, and she was praying, and it was as if I heard her prayers, and I was saying, and she was saying in the audience, Lord, cancer is not too difficult for you. And I was on the stage, I'd say, no, cancer is not difficult for the Lord. Anyway, by the time the end of that night, the thick presence of the glory of God had descended. And I got to pray for her, but even while she was sitting in the audience, electricity was going through her, and the Lord, basically, He totally healed her. Every amount of cancer, whatever cancer was there, was gone. So one of the things, I'm going to talk a little bit about the I Ams of God. And one of the significant names, and this is not just for good Bible study, when in Exodus 15 the Lord says, I am the Lord who healeth thee, that I am, that I am, is of course it's the Lord, but it is full of energy. The Word of God is active and alive and full of power. So even today, as we share the Word of God, some of you, God wants to give some of the families here a turnaround, a real miracle breakthroughs for your children, for yourself. So believe, I would encourage you to believe for turnarounds, for miracles, for the interventions of God. And those who call on the name of the Lord, the Bible says, shall be delivered. So that Spirit is there to give you a breakthrough, to give your children a breakthrough. I was just a few months ago, we were in a meeting, and I pointed to a man, and later found out he was in Nigeria. I said, I don't know which place you come from in Africa, but someone very close to you is getting a miracle. I see an angel going, touching her. And it was his sister. She had stage 4 cancer again in Nigeria. And she said she had felt 2 angels come and take all the, like put some tubes in her and take all the cancer out. She was, by the end of the week, she was found cancer-free again. So this is where we're talking about supernatural fun stuff. Say fun. Amen. Well, glory to God. Serving God and experiencing all of these things is really fun. I'm going to ask you to turn to Revelation chapter 1. I have I have a book table. By the way, if you want to, at the end of Bonnie and I, how many of you have met Bonnie? It's my wife. I'll often call. Thank you. Yes. You've had a profound experience. But we have a gift for you if you want to get a download of our most recent prophetic teaching. It's called Your Season of Overflow, and we'll give it a free download for you if you go to the bookstore and give a little details of your address. And I'll be available if you want to mosey on over after our time here is over. I have several books we have written about 20 books or so, and 4 big manuals. So here is one of the books we have is Getting to Know the Holy Spirit. And the introduction is by Ricky Skaggs. How many of you know who Ricky Skaggs? That's the country singer. And he was with me in Nigeria. And we were at a big crusade, and I said, there's a lady, young girl, I believe, that's God's touching your eyes. You were born blind. God's healing you. So, and he was interested. He came alongside and said, I want to see this. And they brought the young lady who was born blind. I put my hand on her and took it away, and the Lord restored her eyesight. And he said, I want to follow you wherever you go. So next year he went with me to Israel. By the way, talking about Israel, Bonnie and I are going to take a tour. We haven't done that for about 3-4 years. So this is the first tour we're leading for some number of years. But if you want to sign up and bless your wife as an anniversary gift or something, we'll be leading some pilgrims to Jerusalem and Israel, of course. Tour of Israel on September the 10th. So you can get the brochure or some details at our book table. So anyway, the next book I wrote was Getting to Know the Holy Spirit. And Ricky said, I want to write the introduction. So he wrote the introduction. It's his experience, and he has seen the girl born blind receive her eyesight. So who doesn't have this book? Did I give you something yesterday? No? Okay. There it is. And I will sign it later. I have another book called Storm Warrior that God, it's a fascinating title. But God wants all of you to have the authority and the ability to pray with authority that we had a giant, one of the biggest storms ever some years ago hit Charlotte, and we had a big conference. Lenny is experiencing, Scott, when we had a big tent until our building was built. So a couple of days before the conference, I was asking the Lord, Father, give me a word for this conference. Often I would ask for a theme for our get-together, and I heard the Lord say, Shalom. And I said, shalom back to you. Because, you know, he's Jewish. So, just give me a word. And again, I heard the Lord say, shalom. A bee came, the window was open. I was on my treadmill. And a bee came buzzing around me. And I talked to the bee. I said, to be or not to be? And the bee came and plunked down on the treadmill. So that's an ancient treadmill. So it stayed. It wouldn't fly away and went into the machinery and came out and it was flat. And so its wings were crumbled. And so I said, well, it was not to be. And third time I heard, said, Lord, I need a word. Third time I heard shalom, just stereophonic around. And there was glory, power in it. And the power came on that bee, and the bee's wings got restored, his head popped out, and it flew away. I said, well, it was to be. It was the next day that we had our big conference in the tent, and the biggest storm came, and that it plucked up some of the ancient, historic oaks and all that in Charlotte, where we live, and it started raining. It was so powerful, our big tent started ripping apart, and the steel poles that were implanted in the ground started being pulled up, and it would have been a major disaster. Years ago, Oral Roberts said something happened. He was in the storm in his tent, so it can injure a lot of people. And Bonnie was preaching, and one of the first miracles was I was able to stop her from preaching. And then I said, let's pause. And I basically addressed the storm and said, in Jesus' name. I realized that at that time why the Lord had told me shalom. Because in New Testament you find Jesus spoke to the storm and said, peace, shalom. So I addressed the storm and said, in Jesus' name, shalom. And that instant, that we have recordings of that night, but not 10 seconds, 20 seconds, it was instant, the storm stopped across the whole region. And the Lord told me I wanted to teach you to tell my people they have authority. And they can even speak to storms and quiet them. So if you've got storms in your life, whether it is family relationships, financial problems, whatever, you have authority, you're a storm warrior, that you can speak and say in the name of Jesus, shalom. So this is about angels and spiritual authority and all of that called storm warrior. Who wants that? Hallelujah. That pretty young lady right on the second row. Here. No, you're missing. There. That's the one. But she was the fastest hand I saw. So, and this is fun. Stories about angels and Holy Spirit and all of that. That it's the voice of Bonnie and myself. This is for children called Glory Kids. And whether they are 8 years old or 84 years old, this is for all Glory Kids. Who would like this as a gift? Your grandma can, you have a Glory Kid. It's fun. It talks about angels and has got songs and all of that fun stuff. So We have another one that I wanted to not miss. I think it's we have a Glory Force Summit. It's when is it? Do you know, Scott? From which what? Is it next? Oh, pretty soon. They have to get on our website. So it's in 2 weeks? I didn't see the date. It's all right.
May 31st through June 2nd.
Oh, okay. Yep. The end of this month?
Yep.
All right. It's 3 days, I think, of being able to spend personal time with Bonnie and I. It's called the Glory Summit. The first time we're doing it, it's like we're calling it the Mentoring Weekend. So you can ask questions, be with us. So if you want to attend that, you're welcome to come. Amen.
All righty. Told you we were
going to go to Revelation chapter 1. We are in the season. I love this. Look forward to certain events. Love Christmas. Can wallow. I just want you to know unapologetically that I want to declare to you that I set aside 2-3 weeks during Christmas to watch Hallmark movies. It's the feminine side. I have a little. Some people kind of just say all kinds of things, questioning my manhood. But I don't care. I love Hallmark movies. So, and you can tell the season by watching Hallmark movies, you know? Right? So it's Christmas time, and then it's, after that, it's Valentine. You know, oh, that's good. But this is the season that, you know, we really, really do a big to-do about Christmas. But even more important than that is the Lord Jesus going on the cross and taking our sins, our iniquities, and by his stripes, we are healed on Easter. And then after Easter, the 40 days that he is spending with his disciples, and then on the 50th day, he pours out his spirit, and all the ancient prophetic words come to pass. So this is after Easter then. This is, in a sense, for me, the what has happened because of Easter, and it's important for us. Like that we wallow in the Easter and its meaning and personalize it and make it ours. And it says this is at a time, and there are certain similar parallel things for our time frame here, because this was a time where there was a tremendous persecution on the Church of Jesus Christ. It was the time of Emperor Nero, Emperor Domitian, and the church had begun to explode, but they were trying to change the diet of the lions and feeding Christians to them, and in the arenas and throwing them to wild animals to be eaten and crucifying them. All of it's in that season, tremendous persecution that John the Revelator gets this revelation, and I will read this and make some comments on it. It says, Revelation chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, which things must shortly take place. And he sent and signified by his angel to his servant John. So it's a revelation of Jesus, and which God gave him to show his servants, who bore witness to the word of God, to the testimony of Jesus, to all things that he saw. And it says then, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So there is a specific blessing for us, even right now, today. It promises eternally that if you read this book, you will be blessed. If you hear these words, you'll be blessed. So even today, as I'm reading this word, a blessing is coming. A breakthrough is coming. Someone's either some financial situation, or I see papers coming, like someone's immigration papers are coming through, and the IRS difficulty is being resolved. There is I'm just seeing some. I get these impressions. So claim a miracle. If you have had some challenges from the IRS, the Lord saying he's intervening and helping you. That's one of the blessings I see today. Anyway, how many would like to claim that? Yeah? Yeah. Amen. Yes. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come. So, him who is, who was, and who is to come. The one he was, and then he was crucified, he was dead, and he was resurrected on the third day. And now, and he is to come again at the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So, to him who loved us and washed us from our sin, through the blood of Jesus, we are redeemed and you are washed. So it is what we celebrated at Easter, the Lord Jesus on Calvary shed his blood in seven different ways so that you would have perfection of cleansing from all your past sins. A lot of people walk around with a lot of guilt and accusation. And God says there is no reason for the devil to accuse you. And he is called, one of his titles of the devil is an accuser of the brethren. And God says he's made you free. And that this is your identity. After the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we celebrate and believe in, God says, with that happening, he gives to each of us a new identity. Whatever you were before, through the washing of the blood of Jesus, you are now a king and a priest. Say, I'm a king. I'm a priest. And therefore, kings have authority. And they say, go, and they go. You have authority in the realm of the spirit to command demonic powers to be gone. You are a priest. You can give offerings to the Lord and pray for you, for your children, pray for your nation. You have both. You are priest and king. So with the blood of Jesus, your identity has been changed. And we got to both. Sometimes today cannot get the full sense of how awesome the blood is, and it activated things for you, and you are now standing before God. And as God sees you, he sees a king and a priest. You have an identity, a princely identity through the blood of Jesus Christ. One of my mother, when my father and mother came from India, they were Hindus. My mother was raised up way back. She died when she was 86 years old. But she was raised up in India as a daughter. I mean, she was royalty. And she was brought up in the royal houses of India when there were kings, things like that, in the 20s. So she saw the kings, how kings behave, because she was a little girl playing there and in the palaces. And if you had an audience with a king, if you were just a general population and came to got to see the king, the king would ask you to come up to him, and he would have big containers of emeralds, pearls, diamonds, things like that, and gold coins. And he would take handfuls and say, put your hand out, and you go out like this. And the king would place all kinds of gold and emeralds and precious stones in your hand. And this was to, basically, the king wanted to impress that person. You have had an experience of being with a king. It has totally changed your future. From now on, you have all your debts paid because you had a visit with the king. So she would, because she was a bona fide princess, I remember, even when she was a widow, if we had invited anybody at our home, to the ladies, she always gave a gift of gold, a gold bracelet, gold earrings. I said, Mom, what are you doing? She said, I want them to remember they were in the house of a princess. And now, the reason I said that is you are a king and a priest. That if there should be any people who are generous and loving and giving, it should be us. We are God. Through the blood of Jesus, our identity has been changed. The most generous people and the giving people should be the ones whom God calls kings and priests. Anyway, to him who loved us, washed us, and made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the, so we know who the identity is, the one who was crucified. And when we meet Jesus Christ in his palms, you will see, it says, you are tattooed on the arms, on the hand of Jesus. Your name is there within the nail prints that Jesus will always carry, even though he's now the King of Glory. He's got the nail prints, the one who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Say Alpha.
Alpha.
Omega.
Omega.
It's awesome. The beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. Just know that the Lord, I am. Say, I am. So one of the things that I felt impressed by the Lord for this morning was the Lord prophetic aspect of this morning was that God wanted the I am-ness, energy of the I am that I am to come over you and give you miracles and breakthroughs for you and your family, that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am that I am. When Moses has an assignment to set the captives free, to declare that to Pharaoh, let my people go and break the bonds of slavery, as Moses is before his before the burning bush, he asked the Lord, who has been speaking to him, "Who shall I say sent me?" And the voice comes out, "I am that I am. I am." So, no, as we apprehend the Lord, even today, you have prayer requests, you have certain things happening in your personal life. You may have a son who needs a real help to be delivered from some addictive or drug addiction, or whatever it is that the Lord says, "I am today." It's not, "I'm gonna be one day," or "I was, but I can't do it anymore." He is always "I am." He is "I am that I am." And he is, there are several "I am"ness, of course. "I am" breaks the bonds of slavery over them. They have been 400 years under the yoke of slavery. They are totally a community, about 2.5 million in total poverty, who have been robbed for 400 years of their inheritance. They have, they don't even own themselves or their children. And God says, "I'm going to set the captives free. I'm going to set you free. In fact, I'm going to give you such a turnaround that all your 400 years of the indebtedness, I'm going to turn it around." And in Psalm 105, it says that God brought them out with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble in their midst. So overnight, there are certain things that God wants to do overnight. I expect God to do these things, because I've seen so many miracle turnarounds this year, that it's a season, it's a tremendous prophetic season for us. And part of the reason I see prophetically is that as President Trump signed that proclamation last May, that recognizing Jerusalem as the undivided capital of Israel, that whatever enemies of Israel say, we, United States of America, is going to stand with Israel and bless their title to Jerusalem. And it's very important to the heart of God. And he has said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper. Say prosper.
Prosper.
Who love thee. And we as a nation are the first premier nation that has blessed them and said, we are moving our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Well, this had not happened since, for 70 years, since the restoration of Israel. And this was important. And then at Purim this year, on March 20th, he allowed a proclamation. He signed it with Benjamin Netanyahu being near, saying, on this Purim festival, we recognize, America recognizes, the Israel's title to the Golan Heights. Well, this is a portion of real estate taken away from Israel, and America basically helped recognize that their title to it is legal, and we stand with it. And I believe it pleased the heart of God. We did something important prophetically also. And in that, then, I believe God is releasing a major blessing from him to bless America, for the United States. And so we are seeing some of the best economic restoration. We have, as they have said, we are with the lowest unemployment in 50 years plus. And some of the most astounding figures have been turned around in 2 years' time. And that is absolute miracle. You can't do that in the natural. And we got to give credit to the supernatural, that God, he has promised in Genesis, "I will bless those who bless thee," about Israel. And so if you believe in the Bible, this is a promise that we have been able to, in our hour, as a nation, with the present relationship, that we have blessed Israel and we're blessing. So we are in a good season. And I want to say, Lord, here I am. Here's my family. Give us more. You can. We can stand more. How many of you can stand more? Say, yeah. Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you abundant life. Say abundant life. And abundance is such, I remember my teacher and mentor, Derek Prince, who we were co-pastors for 22 years. I don't know how many of you read Derek Prince, but he's one of the greatest Bible teachers. And he talked about Israel and blessing Israel. And that one of the things he's talked about was God wants to give. One of the words we need to claim and confess and receive is abundance, that we have an abundant life. Jesus gives you abundant life. Say abundant life. And so abundance, in his definition, in Derek Prince's breath, he says it is enough to pay all your bills and have plenty left over to give to the poor, to give and help the house of God, the church, and have plenty left over. I mean, if you want to have a Mercedes or two, fine. But how many? You cannot drive 100 Mercedes. There's just, and that left over, so the Lord wants to, in the promises of Abraham, that ours through the resurrection, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have the blessings of Abraham. The curse is broken. Say, the curse is broken. So Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed you from the curse by becoming a curse for you so that the blessing of Abraham is yours. You find one of the blessings of Abraham. Basically, wherever the Jews go, they are in a few seasons, they become some of the most abundant communities because they are blessed. The Lord has given a blessing. And from them came Jesus Christ to bless every family on earth. So, I am. Say, I am.
I am.
I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15, 26. God's I am-ness is something that's coming, and it's at this season that he is not, his promises are not only for the past tense. His promises for you are not just for way in the future. It is today you can bless your children. It is today you can bless your grandchildren. And the Lord, you apprehend it and send blessing to your children and grandchildren. You have authority. And now I just feel like not only in the promises of God, like generally all those promises, but specifically as we have in our just recently blessed Israel like never before, that God's blessing are being poured out on our nation. I just feel that it's important that we recognize that. Bonnie and I were involved quite a bit with Israel for 22 years. I went each year for 22 years to do some of the key healing services at the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem, at one of the largest gatherings in Israel of Christians. So usually we would have 3,000 people from about 120 nations. And so we really felt joined to the fate of Israel. We were able to, during the late 80s, Bonnie and I were able to raise several million dollars to help the Jews come out of Russia. And they were called the Refuseniks. I met personally with the rabbi of Natan Sharansky while he was held in prison. The Lord allowed me to meet him. And in fact, we were, because the KGB was following us and recording us, we went into to the park so they could not record us. And he said, we are both men of God, the rabbi said. So let me speak a blessing over you. So I said, sure. Hit me. And then he said, now you pray for me. And so I laid my hands on top of his head and blessed him. And zap, the glory came. And he fell over. And I had to catch him. And the KGB was watching us. It was fun adventure. And one of the things that happened, I said, God has brought me here to tell you, by next year you will be in Jerusalem. And he started crying, and he said, but there's no way they would let me go, because I'm also a doctor of physics, and I worked on their rocket systems. And so Russia would never let me go. Sure enough, though, the next year, when Bonnie and I were in Israel, the Israeli government knew what we had done to help finance this whole big move of thousands of Jews from Russia. And they took us and several other Christian leaders to Tel Aviv airport, where hundreds of Russian Jews were set free by Gorbachev. And we had the privilege to meeting them and just welcoming them to Israel, all these old Russian ladies. It was quite something. They were crying. They were in Israel. I felt, as I hugged them, I said, I am holding the word of God in my arms, that this is the prophecy. I'll bring them from the north, from every place I scattered them. And that's in the word of God. And so we were living that. So anyway, we have been quite involved in blessing Israel. And I believe that as we, in this prophetic season, this is a special season for miracles for our children and our grandchildren, for our homes, for the church to rise up in a major way. This is going to be a great season of outpouring of spiritual and even financial blessing as we have blessed Israel. So I am that I am Jehovah Jireh. I am the Lord, your provider. God says, I am. Say, I am. God says, I am the bread of life. One of the scriptures that used to be one of my favorites is in John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to Father except by me. So here I am many years ago as a kid. I'm 15 and a half years old. And a missionary's wife knocks on our door, and I give her a drink of water, and she gives me a Bible, and I start reading it as a Hindu young man. And the glory comes on me. I mean, I don't know. He had his mercy. But the word became alive, but especially Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I realized what he was saying, that all my past, I had 900 years of ancestry that I could name 900 years back, that we were all Hindus and we were from the Rajput caste, that was the warrior caste of India. National Geographic, I don't know which one, history, they had all come. I don't know whether you guys, some of you guys, it's guy talk, but they had warriors from different ages do battle and compare which would have been the greatest warriors. And they ended up saying, in history with the Romans, soldiers, and all of them in the past, that the greatest warriors were the Rajputs. That's my background. Anyway, you can look that up. We were Hindus. I was very proud of it. And yet the Lord quickened in that scripture. Jesus speaking to me. It's not a judgment against other people, but he says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one, however good, can come to the Father except through this door. Jesus is the door. So he says, I am the door. But he's also, I am the light of the world. So this was especially spoken at the time Jesus speaks this, during the Feast of Tabernacles, where there were these 70 feet giant lamps in Jerusalem. And at this time, that would light them during the Bible days. And so the light from those giant lamps would be burning at all night long, and it would be lighting up the all of Jerusalem. As people looking at that light, Jesus says, but I am the light. You may have many other lights, but I am the light of the world. And without light, by the way, without sunlight, all life would not be, because plant life, human life, animal life, it all's dependent on the sun. And Jesus said, greater than the sun is the King of glory himself. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. Before Abraham was, I am. And that's the voice that spoke to Moses. I am that I am. Now, in this then, here is the Lord saying, I am what? I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And this word, it went out, John's letter, but it inspired all the believers. Today we have tremendous persecution of Christians in several countries. Parts of Nigeria, they are being murdered in the hundreds. In Pakistan, in Indonesia, in many parts of the Middle East, in China, there is tremendous persecution. We are very much involved in helping in the Chinese believers in many different ways. And to all of them, this is a word to us today. God would say again, the Lord Jesus saying to you, and I am the Alpha. Say Alpha.
Alpha.
Omega.
Omega.
It means the first. He says, I'm the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was with me, that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of God, clothed with a garment down to the feet, girded about the chest with a golden band. This book is full of mysteries. It's fun. It's full of dragons and beasts and lambs and creatures. But it's, God says, as we read it, we're going to be blessed. His head and hair were like white wool. This is a description of the glorified Christ today. As if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Yet in his right hand, seven stars. Out of his mouth went a two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining on its strength. So the glory was all glowing out of him. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives, was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. That is after the resurrection. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which you have seen, things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. This message in Revelation was such a blessing that people took courage, even in the days of Domitian and Nero, during the tremendous persecution. The Lord said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. This is what John gave to them, the revelation of this. I mean, you know, my son works for Disney and he is very much involved in some of these Avengers movies and Star Wars. So the first new Star Wars, you can see among the editors my son's name. So, you know, years ago, Some of you, many of you know my story, Bonnie and my story when our boy was in the hospital dying. When, this was about 39 years ago or so. That he almost died, but the Lord healed him wonderfully, and the glory showed up in the hospital, restored his kidneys. And then a few years later, the first time, I'm a movie nut, so I like to take people to movies, and I took my son to the Return of the Jedi, Star Wars. He comes out, and now he was, of course, 5 and a half, 6 years old. And he came out at the end and said, he wanted me to stay again. We watched the movie again. And then he said, "Dad, Daddy, I know what I want to do." I said, "What, son?" He said, "I want to make movies." I said, "All right." I laid hands on him. I said, "Lord, I bless my son. May you give him grace to do these things." Well, about 30 years later, there is the repeat, the new Star Wars, The Force Awakens. And there has been helping make that Star Wars. And he was one of the main editors. The sound, I think, that you hear throughout this, it's the sound that he chose. Wow. There it is. There is Ben Chavda's name among the editors of that. And the Lord, you know, make sure that you bless your children. Lay hands on them, your grandchildren. Prophesy over them. Because the Lord was so faithful to, not only did he heal him, but he took care that whatever your vision is, God, let your children have vision. I love to prophesy over children. And sometimes if I have time, I ask them, "All right, what's your dream? What would you like to do?" And God is already stirring over our children. And there's something that'll be set in motion. So let your children have big vision. I say, have big vision. Anyway, here, one of the things that I want to emphasize is our God is, he is the cosmic king. He's the king of universe. As you go to Marvel thing, it's all, they go to galaxies and all of that. I said, our God is God. Our Jesus is the king of kings. He's the king of the universe. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Say Alpha again. So, the Alpha is the, the Alpha Omega is the first letters of the Greek alphabet, the first letter. Like it's like us saying A to Z, and first letter of Greek Alpha, Alpha. So whatever, you know, people often we are taught in the natural, what's your identity? And you got to find out, I'm searching for my identity. And what God is saying to us is, your beginning point is not you. Get us out of our own selves. We often look at us as to who am I? And God says, you'll be wrong if you start defining yourself by referencing yourself. And that the Lord wants us to change that reference point. The way you are defined is by Alpha. Your beginning point is Jesus. If you begin with yourself, you'll goof up. The moment you find Jesus, you found your Alpha. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning for everybody on earth. So appropriate, God wants us to appropriate this truth. It'll give you, start giving you a supernatural mantle. And you will start, whatever your background, you may have been rejected, you may have been hurt, you may have been abused, does not matter. Often psychologists will point to, well, you had a bad beginning. Or, no, God says, you focus on me. Jesus says, I am your Alpha. I am your beginning. It doesn't matter where you started, I'm your beginning. See, in the last days, the spirit of Antichrist will be very active. And he wants to inject doubt in us and try to minimize who we are. And God, I said, as far as God is concerned, he defines you as a king and a priest. You are mighty before God. God, you matter. So that's why I'm often to, get people to salvation, and then the baptism of the Holy Spirit often helps open our eyes. The beginning is Jesus. There's nothing before him. He's Alpha. Say, Jesus is my Alpha. And so, if we want to understand ourselves and appreciate ourselves properly, we begin with Jesus. Who am I, Lord? Beginning with Jesus. And if we go any other route, we'll never discover ourselves. And if we know him, we'll know ourselves. And often to appreciate, we have had a chance to go to so many nations, and I tell people to appreciate the United States. Go to other countries. Go to the Congo. Go to Egypt. See how the Christians are suffering persecution, and there can be people can come and kill you in the middle of the night. Not too many authorities will care. In Pakistan, the same thing. It's when you come back to America, you'll want to get on the ground and kiss the ground, because we don't realize right here how privileged we are, how wonderful our nation is, what the freedoms we have, and of course, just the abundance, but the freedoms. It is amazing that the Lord, the freedoms we have, it made me almost cry when I realized that people who denigrate our nation. Excuse me, the wind is blowing my papers. That I remember being in Czechoslovakia and Russia, and the contrast we had, how the people behaved themselves. And they were like scared animals. And you got to America and you said, I am free. Nobody's watching me. We need to treasure the freedoms and appreciate them. There is a scripture I want to read to you from the Message Bible. Won't blow away. Colossians 1. Here it is. We look at the sun. This is the Alpha. See the God who cannot be seen. We look at the sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank of angels. Everything got started in him finds its purpose in Jesus. Jesus was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. When he comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. He was supreme in the beginning, and leading the resurrection parade, he's supreme at the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything and everyone. So spacious is he, so roomy that everything of God finds its proper place in him, without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. So everyone finds its purpose. Any person will find their purpose in Jesus. And if they have not found Jesus, you cannot follow them because they have no, they do not have their purpose and their placement. So if you begin with Jesus, it's fine. If we don't begin, then it gets all goofy. So for all of us, Jesus is our alpha point. He gives meaning to us. He is. Christianity represents the cosmic Christ. Not me first, but Jesus first. It starts with him. When I had that experience, when I was searching, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that word was quickened when I was just a young man. It took several months, but it climaxed with me knocked out and the Lord gave me a little trip to heaven where I saw the glory of God, light that I'd never seen before, flowers, colors I'd never seen before, flowers singing, grass singing. I mean, it's hard to describe in word the glory and the joy. It was the heavenly atmosphere, and there I met Jesus. And well, I was there several hours in the glory. And then when I woke up, I immediately went on my knees and received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And He is the way, the truth, and the life. That He is the Creator. He is. That's where my beginning point, I would say, that started defining me. And there was a destiny I had in him. I never knew until then, I mean until later, that he was anointing me to talk with prime ministers and generals and bring them to the salvation experience, to see them filled with the spirits, to see their family get miracles, signs, and wonders. And it begins, for me, it was the Lord Jesus. My whole family, by the way, came to Jesus Christ after that. So the Lord was kind to me. And as he is the Alpha, if he is the Alpha, number one, if we don't begin with Jesus, then things are goofy in people's life. I cannot follow any leader who does not know Jesus Christ as the Alpha, because it'll be all goofy. And then, secondly, he's the Omega. He is the one who created. I am the first and the last. So we have a point we are going towards. That's the Omega point. That's Jesus at the end. He puts all of these things together. And we don't have to worry. We are heading towards an end times that is totally under his control, because he is Alpha and Omega. So he is the light of the world. He is resurrection and life. He is the bread of life. But he's also, I am Alpha and Omega. So after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, this is kind of the point. I feel like the more we do this adventure of following Christ, that the more this, the glory is getting involved. I found that this year we have had so many, as we have more and more homed in on the centrality of Jesus. It's not being fanatical. It's not being intolerant. As we worship Jesus and focus more on him and make him our beginning and our end point, that I see the glory manifesting in such an amazing way that we are seeing so many miracles, signs, and wonders. So I am praying in this hour that the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Alpha and Omega, will get stronger and stronger, that he will be blessing you and give you, may the Alpha voice speak to you and direct you. The Alpha, and for me, I'm realizing what has happened in the past, to more understanding from, as I read more about the Lord getting involved, how he is totally in history now. And I believe we are in for a great visitation of the Holy Spirit. But he's doing awesome things already, as some of the first samples of glory. And Bonnie's saying, we are getting more and more words from the glory. As kings and priests, the Lord wants to make you emissaries of the glory. From the Alpha Omega, the glory is coming over you and blessing you. Bonnie was in another part of not far away from here, about a week ago, a week and a half ago, I think. And she was telling about some experiences she had. And then she repeated a word from the glory that the Lord had given me. The voice of the Lord is so triumphant. And we may not understand all of it, but in it, in this season, God is going to release his glory as never before. And that you're going to see more breakthroughs, signs, wonders, and major turnarounds for your family. I believe that it's connected with some of the stuff that I already shared with you. But one of the words I got some time back, I remember I was going, I had to minister in Chicago, and was finishing a book and editing till about 4 in the morning. I had to catch a plane at 8 o'clock for Chicago. So I didn't have much sleep. Packed, went, caught the plane to Chicago, and went to sleep. And I was thinking about, I don't know why at that time, meditating on a passage that we had written while I was editing about the Lord being our beginning and end point, that he is the Alpha, Omega, and that his voice is going to be triumphant in the coming days. I remember editing some of those situations and then kind of went to sleep for a couple hours, went, caught the plane, and then I went to sleep on the plane, and when it hit the tarmac in Chicago, I woke up, and the Lord woke, as I woke up simultaneously, the Lord said, "Wake up, Sleeping Beauty." And I said, "The Lord never called me Sleeping Beauty. Why did he say it?" So I was talking, and it was a very loud word. voice speaking. Just like John the Revelator, I heard, turned around and heard the voice speaking to me. It was the same. And so I went, I did the service in Chicago. There were about 2,000 believers there, and that kept me up late in the night. But anyway, in the middle of the service, I heard the voice again say, "One of them is here." And I said out loud, "There is a girl trying to commit suicide here. Come up." And the main organizer, her name is Anna Nancy, had, her daughter had been violated and had been institutionalized. And the police had brought her to that place where I was speaking to help visit her mom. And if she got alone, she tried to kill herself. And she ran up to the 18th floor and was trying to throw herself over the edge, and the police caught her. They brought her down. Her name is Lauren. And as she opened the door, that's where I said, "There's a girl trying to commit suicide." Now, it was the glory. The voice of the Lord spoke. She's here. And she came up. I said, "Come up here." And she came up. Basically, I knew she was the one trying to commit suicide. So I prayed for her. And she got the oppression left her instantly. And over the next few months and years, then she became a presidential scholar. Then she got her degree, started teaching people, went to China, started training thousands of Chinese. And last October, some of the leaders in China came and talked with me and said she's now in charge of overseeing 30 million Chinese. And just think, sometimes the devil tries to define our kids. And that if you had looked at that girl, she was institutionalized. She was so oppressed. But Jesus came to set the captives free. And she was set free. Not only set free, but became, got a degree in counseling. Then she started training thousands of Chinese to be free. Then, today, she's managing and overseeing 30 million Chinese believers. And that's why I said there is a destiny over our children. And let the Lord define that. It's limitless. The Alpha and Omega is speaking. The voice of the Lord is speaking behind us. And you turn around and this is the voice, that I have major things for you and your children up ahead. So anyway, after doing the healing service that night, there was a continuum. Again, they kept me up till 3 in the morning. The next day, I went back home and Bonnie said to me, "Honey, sorry, I know you're tired, but there is a girl dying in Nashville. And she's on life support and they are about to pull the plug. Her mom is there from New Zealand. They are saying goodbye. But they say, could Brother Mahesh come fly to Nashville and pray for this young lady?" And I said, "Honey, I'm so tired. I can't do anything." The next day, I went to sleep while I was doing communion the next day. But Bonnie woke me up. I was fast asleep. She said, "You got to wake up, go to church." I said, "Why?" She goes, "Because you are the pastor." So anyway, so we went. As I was breaking bread and doing communion, the Lord said again, "Wake up, Sleeping Beauty." And I realized Sleeping Beauty is in Nashville in a coma, dying, and they're about to pull the plug. Her several kidneys had stopped functioning now. And so she was dying. She had been in a diabetic coma. So I said, "I need two men to come drive me to Nashville. It took us 9 hours. Now went into the intensive care unit and took, her name is Lynn. Now took Lynn's hand and said, Lynn, wake up, Sleeping Beauty, and walked out. And the Lord started restoring. And the third day, she was released. And she, the nurse was supposed to wheelchair her out. She put the nurse in the wheelchair, and Lynn wheelchaired her out. And as she was getting out, they gave her the bill. And it was several hundred thousand. And it said, paid in full. We had nothing to do with your recovery. So the glory of the Lord came. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I feel like today, I feel such a, there is a change in our atmosphere, that the blessing of Abraham is more activated to be released over us and over our children, because Jesus is alive. He who was dead is now alive and resurrected. That your past is under the blood. So right now, I would just pray just a prayer over each and every family, and release the blessing of Abraham for you, that the Alpha and Omega takes over. I mentioned on Friday the blessing of Obed-Edom, that was that not only will your children serve the Lord, but your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren will serve the house of the Lord always. So, amen. Why don't you stand up for a moment? Hallelujah. Glory to God. These are the days where Jesus, the days after the resurrection, that he walked around and talked with his disciples. And then the Holy Spirit, we're heading towards Pentecost in a few days. The great sound of a great mighty rushing wind. And everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we start with your Son. Our lives are directed by the Alpha and the Omega. We want to live by your Son. Knowing this, that the King of Glory died for me. And that our lives have meaning. Our lives matter. Our lives have substance. Show us, Lord, what it means that Jesus is the first and the last. That he is the one who was and is to come, the Almighty. Father, thank you that through the blood of Jesus, we are redeemed out of the hand of the devil. That through the blood of Jesus, every shadow of a curse over us or our children or our grandchildren is broken through the blood of Jesus. Say after me, through the blood of Jesus, I am redeemed. Every shadow, any curse over me, over my family line, through the blood of Jesus, these shadows, these curses are broken. I declare my house will be like the house of Obed-Edom with the power and the presence of Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, that your glory, your presence fills my house, fills me wherever I go, that miracles, signs, wonders will happen wherever I go. Thank you, Lord. I ask for a miracle and a breakthrough for my family, for my loved one, even today. Because the curse is broken, we have the blessing of Abraham. I speak those blessings over my children, over my grandchildren, over my great-grandchildren. We give all glory to Jesus. I am that I am. We glorify him. Give him all the praise for the breakthrough, for the blessings. All of them. I claim them. Each and every blessing. I speak them over my children, over all my generations. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to pray for the people who are sick or who could not
those
come.
Those of you who are physically afflicted, and is there some children downstairs with heart problem? Bring that child up here. While we're attending that, please be seated for a moment. I want to address our Father's house. Jay, come stand with me. Mahesh and I met back in the early 80s, and within a couple of years, I was traveling the region with him in Hong Kong and Taiwan. We did some campaigns there. But in that season of our affiliation and the impartation that was happening, we began to experience in a sort of serendipitous way the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit at our Father's house. And as the Lord began to train us to respond to his presence, he began to say over this house through a variety of voices from outside of our area that this place, this household, was to be a field hospital for the Lord. And we have watched healings of great magnitudes happen over the years, and in particular in this most recent season we're in, we've watched the broken souls of people be restored through both the prophetic and healing ministries that God has raised up here. Now, to my right is a generation that has imparted to my generation, that is imparting to this next generation. And I bring this to our attention because both Mahesh and I are committed to the future of this place while we have clarity of mind and strength of body to serve what God is doing here. So Landy's relocation is not Landy's departure. It's just the next season of his ministry as we make room for what God's doing in this next generation. I thought it very interesting that we received this prophetic word this morning.
This is not me. I'm reading. I was praying about the service, and I think I got a picture of a red cross mounted high on a radio tower or cell phone tower, blinking and flashing brightly high above the hill OFH is on. I think it is referring to the healings, miracles, words we see in church today will add to the testimony of OFH for the community to see like a beacon directing them to this field hospital where they can encounter the one true living God who can heal them.
Share with them your part of that that you shared with us this time.
Those of you who have been here with us at OFH for some time, I have been sharing with you about what the Lord has been placing on my heart about our future together here. The Lord had called us a MASH unit. He's called us a field hospital. He's called us many things surrounding healing. And many of us can testify to the actuality of that word here in our lives. And I believe as the Lord has been increasing what we have been experiencing in healing, that he's going to continue that trajectory. And in a setting that we had several years ago, Lanny was recounting what the Lord had been doing and how he'd been growing manifestations of healing here. And as he moved on to his other point, I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, and I'm going to do this too, and then I'm going to do this too, and I'm going to do this too, and that he's going to continue to increase that anointing for healing here, even to the restoration of relationships between people groups and seeing healings happen on large scales. And I get so desirous to see that thing happen here because there's so much brokenness that's taking place out in our society today. And the politicians and community leaders and everybody trying to resolve these challenges. And I believe the challenge and the answers to these challenges lies within the Spirit of God. And the people of God are those who are able to host his presence so that he can bring healing no man could ever create. But I am can create the healing there. I am can restore us. And I believe God is preparing us as a people to be able to host his presence in such a way that he can affect change like that. That we would be that beacon on the hill where people can say, we're going to go to the house of God and see how he does things because something is different there. Yeah. Hallelujah.
All right, please stand. You have been prayed over. I'm going to release you. The book table is open for those of you who want to wisely invest in your own future understanding. There are a lot of helps out there that they're not theory. They're the results of having lived in the presence of the Lord. And if you have any interest in living in the presence of the Lord, let me encourage you to take advantage of those resources out in the lobby. Now, hear me clearly. I'm not saying come get blessed. I'm saying if you have a physical infirmity in your body at this moment, we will pray for you. The rest of you, God bless you. See you later.
After I get through praying here, I'll be available to sign books at the table there.